Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, the latest Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index for Q2 is painting a challenging picture for South African households, with high interest rates pushing debt servicing costs to their highest level in around 15 years. Obviously, financial pressure is continuing to mount. We are feeling this. The restrictive monetary policies of recent years also having a severe impact on household finances, consumer spending and the broader economy. So let's explore these details or these findings in a little more detail and consider what needs to change for households to regain financial resilience. Roelof Botha is with us now. He is the author of that report and a well-known economist. So, Dr. Botha, good evening to you. So you've highlighted that South Africans are spending 9.1% of their disposable income on servicing debt, up from 6.7% just 2 years ago. I guess the question is, how much longer can households actually sustain this?
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately for some of them, you know, the two system came into the equation all of a sudden. So obviously that's going to provide some relief, but this is not the type of relief that you want, because your prospects of retiring and maintaining your standard of living are diminishing if you dip into that, into those pots. The big problem, obviously, is the fact that interest rates rose to their highest level in 14 years, and the debt cost ratio to disposable income rose to its highest level in 15 years. Absolutely, what I find unbelievable is that interest rates, the prime rate was 10% before COVID, and it was too high then because the real prime rate was 5%. In John Marcus's, during her term of office, the average real prime rate was 3.1%. That's prime minus CPI. Today, prime is 11.5%. CPI is 4.4, gives you 7.1%. It is 130%, more than double what it was in John Marcus's term. Why they decided to take it to 11.75 is absolutely beyond me, because there has not been any sign whatsoever of demand inflation in this economy. The spike in inflation globally and in South Africa was caused by a 720% increase in shipping freight costs, and by a 400% increase in crude oil. And since then, those prices have normalized. Inflation has come down. It was never necessary to follow this extremely restrictive policy stance, which is hurting consumers, every single one of us. You see that in the Better Bond Index of home loan applications. It is down, down, down.
So, Dr. Botha, how then, or what would a real interest rate look like in order to reflect the reality that you're outlining for us?
Well, it's quite simple. All we need to do is to go back to the norms established by John Marcus and the Monetary Policy Committee of the time, which was to maintain a real prime rate of roughly 3%. It was slightly higher at times. It was even slightly lower. But she stuck to the target range of 3 to 6%. She didn't get all excited when inflation moved up closer to 6% or even beyond 6%. Now, apparently, the word on the street, as Paul Simon says, in his songs, is that they want it to be 4.5%. So, you know, the thought that a Monetary Policy Committee can pinpoint a developing country on the southern tip of Africa, far, far removed from the lucrative consumer markets of Europe and North America, pinpoint our inflation rate to a decimal point, that is so ludicrous. It tells me that maybe they must come to some of them must attend some of my economics lectures, right, so that I can explain to them what causes inflation.
So Dr. Botha, then leading on from that then, and we'll certainly pass the invitation along, how do you balance the need then for stable inflation against the urgent need for growth in household income and employment?
Once again, it's quite simple. Just follow John Marcus's advice or a line of thinking. During that 5 years that she maintained a 3.1% average real prime rate, the economy grew on average at just below 3%. Now we have a real prime rate of 130% higher, and we've got virtually zero growth. It's quite obvious that the high interest rates are costing the economy. If you have such a high cost of capital, it effectively acts as a tax on venture capital. It's just too easy to put your profits in a fixed investment account. You're earning between 10 and 12%. And instead of taking all the risk with all these regulations, etc., it will become better under the government of national unity. And we are looking forward to lower interest rates. But if you look at the bond yield, which has dropped by 200 basis points, it tells you that they are behind. The Reserve Bank is behind the cycle.
So, Dr. Budde, why do you think then the Monetary Policy Committee is afraid to change? Is it because the world itself has changed and there are greater geopolitical threats and the risk has increased? Or is it simply a lack of sticking to a rigid policy and not having the courage to change?
Personally, I think that they are using models which tend to forecast inflation, and they are putting way too much emphasis on inflation expectations. Brian Cantor agrees with me. He's published some articles in this regard as well. But these inflation expectations, the survey that is done by Stellenbosch Bureau for Economic Research on behalf of the Reserve Bank, are not very scientific. And there's a Reed woman that did a lot of research on this. She succinctly stated the crux of the problem by saying that expectations matter, but they are unobservable. Because the people that complete these surveys, including trade union leaders or perhaps their secretaries, did not necessarily study economics. They don't know what you're talking about. And that's why some of the survey results point to where people say, no, inflation is going to be 30% or 40%. They don't understand what the issue is.
So,
and the Reserve Bank places too much emphasis on these inflation expectations.
All right, Dr. Budde, let's move away from the modeling then. Let's assume that a fair amount of, or a fair degree of business owners are listening to us tonight. With household disposable income shrinking, as you've pointed out in your report, what can private sector employers do to offset this, given the existing wage pressures and low growth, as we've been discussing?
Well, what they've been doing ever since shortly after COVID, if you look at the average formal sector salary outside of agriculture in South Africa, it's since the second quarter of 2019, it has declined by 2%. More and more employees are prepared to accept a below inflation increase so that they can hang on to their jobs. If your unemployment has risen by 2.6 million people in a couple of years, you're not going to sacrifice your job for, you know, by wanting 2 or 3 or 4% above inflation. This is good, obviously, to maintain low inflation in an economy. The point is just that we need to create jobs, and we are not going to create jobs under the current inflation regime. Inflation combating regime. The mission statement of the Reserve Bank states very clearly that apart from trying to keep inflation low, they have to ensure that the economy grows and creates jobs. And they seem to me have lost sight of that part of the mission statement.
Dr. Budde, I always appreciate your blunt assessment on the state of the economy. Author of the latest Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index. I do appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.